been very prayerful about this, and I'm going to go back to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, where I was, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. As I've gone through really everything from the 10th chapter of Acts through to this point, 16th chapter, most of the time I would cover really a whole chapter, or sometimes one chapter would bleed over into the next. But and as this will just a little bit, but this is really at Acts of the Apostles. This book it documents the entire ministries of these men. And so we see these things, and we can, in things that many may think do not relate to us in our lives today, from the Old Testament, and I don't think any of us believe that. I believe we see how it applies to us, but so much of this just visibly applies to us now, what we need to be doing, right reasons and so forth, and certainly in the church, as a part of the church. And yes, the 16th chapter, I only really last time I preached out of here was just the first three or four, five verses, and I want to continue there, and yet I don't intend to go to the end. Now part of this is, teaches us to follow the Spirit, part of this that I'll cover today. And so we certainly do that, and that teaches us that in all facets of our lives, not just certain things. In everything, we should seek the guidance of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Spirit of God. And we're blessed to do that. But we'll hope to bring out some thoughts here in the 16th chapter. As I do continue here, just overlapping a bit, the fourth verse of the 16th chapter of Acts, it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." Referring back to 15th chapter, that conference in Jerusalem, they all went. There's an issue with some Jews trying to put them, the Jews and Gentiles, really under the law service, one portion of it. But what I want to grab there is as they went through the cities. And then it says in the fifth verse, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Now, these churches, and as they went through the cities, we can see their purpose here in from the 15th chapter, 36th verse, just right up above where I am in my Bible. Let us go again, he spoke to Barnabas, and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So their intention is to go to every city and church that is already in existence. They're up there. Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, north of Jerusalem, up here in Syria, east of the Mediterranean Sea. So they're over there. And these churches where they went before over in Turkey, they're worshiping just like we are, just like across town, old schools meeting in Dallas and another one in Dallas and Louisville and so forth. They're all meeting. And those churches were meeting. But he said, let's go and see how they do. And we know then at that point then, I'll remind you, that Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them on this preaching trip to go see how these churches do. Paul disputed that, and so Paul took Silas with him. Barnabas took John Mark, and they went and sailed back to the island, there, Cyprus, and which is where they were from, and their family was from. They went there, and that's pretty much all we hear. Paul and Silas then went, they did not sail as they did that first journey, if you remember a few weeks back when I covered that. And in fact, this week, yesterday, I tried to email out some maps of these cities and the routes and so forth. I never got the email from our group, so I don't know if it got hung up or if it's just me. But maybe you'll get it next Thursday or something. But anyway, I have it in my mind, and y'all probably do too. But so this time they took the land route and went north and then west over to in another direction. But in this, and we'll see more on this maybe in a moment. Paul didn't want to take John Mark with him. There's something going on. Well, he had left them before on the first journey and said, no, I'm not taking him. But we know, and I've read, I think, a couple of times in all this, how he said that John Mark was, his ministry was good for him and all. So everything was good in that. But we have now two sets of ministers, you have two these apostles and so forth. They're going two different directions. Had they all gone one way, then only the churches up in Asia Minor would have heard all their preaching of the gospel. Now, God working in this, I think, we have two different routes. Barnabas and John Mark are down preaching somewhere else. Gospel spreading. And churches are being confirmed and as it says in the Bible, established. So that kind of covers where we are now and down in the 16th chapter. And so remember from 2 weeks ago he met in Derbe and Lystra over in Asia. They got there where Paul had been before and Barnabas, but he sees Timothy there. And so he has him circumcised, as was covered then and all. But so as they journey now, we have Paul and Silas and Timothy mentioned here and others as well there. But those are the three mentioned specifically and all that we're sure about. And fifth verse again in 16th chapter, and so were the churches established in the faith. Now, when I hear someone even today saying, we established a church over in Dalhart, Texas, or something, I think, they founded a church. They constituted a church, which we easily say constituted. This here doesn't mean they established new churches. They're strengthening them. They are solidifying them. They are causing them to be steadfast in the faith. And it says, in the faith, which goes so much deeper than we're establishing them, solidifying them and making them more stable in the doctrine or the practice. It's in the faith, our trust. And so they're establishing them and strengthening them in there. They're making them strong in the faith. And that those churches increased in number daily. God was blessing those churches that had previously been constituted, and they have their own preachers and so forth. So it says in the sixth verse then, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they'd gone throughout. Phrygia is a region in which some of these cities exist. Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and so forth. And then Galatia is a little bit to the north and maybe a little bit to the west of where they are. So they go out throughout Phrygia and through the region of Galatia. But then they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, that word forbidden, I think of they were just forbidden. That's what I forbade. God kept them and refused to allow them to go and all. This word here, if you look at the entire definition, and God has to guide us in these definitions. I don't want to hang on to just one word in there and say this is what this means and all, but the word hindered is in there. So in some form, but we do know forbidden of the Holy Ghost. So God, being the Holy Ghost, forbade them in some way, form, or fashion of going to Asia. They're really in Asia Minor. I'm like, well, they're already in Asia. No, they're in Asia Minor, and they wanted to go another way. And honestly and sincerely, I think. But they were forbidden. Whether they were hindered in some way, or they simply knew or were physically forbidden to go of the Holy Ghost, then that's fine, whatever it is. But God was driving this. God's here. Now, the song that Sister Debbie selected, which we used to sing when I was a kid, out of number 8 or 9 old school hymnal and all, little bitty books and all. We sang that, but so it came back to me. But that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, I happened to think when I was sitting there that song really is what these ministers are doing here. They're holding to God's unchanging hand. They're following the guidance of the Spirit. If that doesn't apply to our lives today, I don't know what does. We must do that in all things. And so whether or not they were just hindered by some physical circumstances, I think, I don't know, maybe. And I confess to you, when I was heading to Mississippi to that meeting, and before, when in Lindale, Texas, just out of Dallas, I got pulled over driving just a little bit too fast and got a warning. Once I told him I was going to Stringer, Mississippi, he might have felt sorry for me, but he just gave me a warning. Had I got arrested, thrown in jail, whatever, like, okay, I was hindered from going to that meeting. Maybe a couple of flat tires would have done it for me. I said, no, I'm going home. And so whether or not they were hindered, also Paul, he was not in the best health. He was ill. He's sick, but he's still going. Again, a few weeks back, as I covered, when he was stoned to death, in this same area right here, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, right where he is, when he was stoned to death there for preaching this gospel, what did he do? He immediately got up and preached the gospel again. Now he's coming back, still preaching it, and he doesn't feel that great. He's ill at this point. So we're at the 7th verse. So they're forbidden to go to Asia. So then, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, essay just means they endeavored to go. They tried to. And there's also in that, again, there's much to digging down into the Greek definition of this. There's a testing in there, an experimentation in that. So there, and at this point, I think of Paul, put myself in his shoes, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go preach the word in Asia. Then they come to Mysia. And then now they endeavored to go to Bithynia, which is northeast of where they are. So they're trying the spirits. They want to go where God, and we'll see, they want to go where God wants them to go. And it was not into Bithynia in Asia. Mysia is a little bit the region more toward Antioch, west of there, if you're following on a map in your mind, huge area there. But the Spirit suffered them not. Now, I have trouble discerning, we have the 3-in-1 God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So we know that. I can't wrap my mind completely around that. I think we'll know and we'll realize that's what that is when we're there in His presence, in their presence, in His presence. But this word Spirit in the 7th verse can mean, and I know they're all God, it's all God, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ is there. And many, as I study this, believe that this is specifically the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, if these three are one, God, Jesus Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and He is God, and so forth. So where do you can go into oblivion trying to figure this stuff out. But I think of the Spirit of Jesus Christ guiding His ministers in His church. This is His church. He's the head of it. He is the foundation and the rock on which it stands and on which we all stand. But he's guiding them, but the Spirit suffered them not. at this point, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll go on back to Antioch, to my home church, and just stay there. But he didn't do that. And that's not what happened. And I know y'all are ahead of me, probably on the end of the ninth verse here. And that's fine. And a vision. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the eighth verse. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. It's Troy today, Troy, or used to be. Troy, in far western Asia Minor. It is not far from, and I didn't check, it's not far from the Aegean Sea. It's a big sea there. And that Aegean Sea divides Asia from Europe. So they're passing through Mysia, which is right in that vast area. I think of going between here and El Paso, that desolate area between here, Midland and so forth, so which some of y'all are familiar with, I'm sure, family up there. So this is where they are. They're in Troas. So remember, just to give you a picture, it's Paul, Silas, and Timothy is who we know. It could be others traveling. I remember when Elder Tyndall, R.A. Tyndall at Amarillo would travel. He'd come some down to the Houston area when we lived down there. And he'd have preaching appointments, and the Mariners always came with them. And I called it his entourage. They always came with them. So that's some of y'all's family, the Mariners and so forth. And of course, Barrington's. I can't talk bad about anybody anymore. I know that there's someone here related. So good lesson. So that's where they are in Troas. So it's near the Aegean Sea. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. So he has a vision. And it appeared in the night. Now, sometimes I wonder if someone said, oh, I saw something and I saw a vision. I think, well, maybe they were dreaming. And we know that we see that Pilate's wife had dreams. Joseph had a dream. This is a vision. This is not a dream. He had a vision, Paul did, in the night. This is one of the many places where I don't dispute. I've heard people say, oh, visions, that's just crazy and all. I don't dispute. It's the same God today. It's the same Holy Ghost, same Spirit of Jesus Christ today. And so I've never had a vision that I can remember. Maybe I've forgotten or something. But there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, Paul, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So now Macedonia is across the Aegean Sea. It's in Europe. Today, it'd be Europe. It's Macedonia. It's about where Bulgaria is, and they are in the EU, and so that's in Europe, and that's where Macedonia is. They're still over here in Asia, across this sea, and this vision comes to Paul. Of course, I'm thinking, okay, I think you know where you need to go to preach the gospel. This is to come help us. They need help in some form or fashion. And this is God, again, the providence of God, the Holy Ghost, God is guiding them. Spirit of Jesus Christ is so close with them. But look at the dedication and devotion of these men. They're right back where these Jews from Antioch in Turkey. Not Antioch, where their home church is in Syria, but Antioch, they could get wind of them preaching again, come down there and say, okay, we're going to stone him to death again. And they're taking risks here and all. And the devotion and dedication here of these ministers, and I know Paul's an apostle, but he's a minister of the gospel because he says he is. So God's blessing them in this and guiding them even where they're to preach. I haven't had a vision. I start thinking in my mind, well, do I want to go to this meeting or that meeting? And I take it very seriously of where I might go. And I hope that I will, if I have what's called a burden to go preach somewhere, that I will do that. I don't know what if, you know, Paul, who had been Saul, had been struck down by God before. So I had, maybe he feared, I'm not going up into Asia. The Spirit said, no, they forbade him not to. But maybe he, they could have. They could, nope, I'm going to Bithynia. That's where I feel like I need to go. But he's following the Spirit, and the Spirit's blessing him to do just that. He does that again in all facets of our lives. Hold to God's unchanging hand in each decision we make. And to me, I think he lets me kind of wander a little bit. Like, okay, we'll see how this works out for you, Ward. and then I feel his strong presence. And I have felt, I know the difference between God suffering me and God blessing me. Suffering, long-suffering in what I'm doing and blessing me. I think I'm speaking to those who know this. That, okay, I know, I don't have to describe it to you, don't think, but when he's blessing us, like the song service today and all, to me, up here is just outstanding. And I give God Almighty the praise for that. So we should do this in all our decisions. And so he has this vision. And so, and again, it's not a dream, it's a vision. And the 10th verse says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Okay, they're on track. They assuredly. Okay. Well, it's a vision. Paul saw this. Now, the others trusted. The others didn't see that vision. Paul did. And if you want to look at him as kind of the leader of this trip, this journey here, but assuredly. And so after this vision, it says appeared to Paul in the night. Immediately, they left to go over, get to Macedonia. They're in Troas. They got to go find a boat somewhere and so forth. And so that comes up in verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. So let me stop there. My thoughts are kind of crowding up on me here, which doesn't take much. Two of them can do that. Loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. Loosing is, if you look at that, it's a ship. Loosing, like casting the ropes off and so forth. They're releasing the ship, loosing from port, and they're sailing. And they had to do that. More description here in God's blessings. So in this phrase, with a straight course, I read that is a nautical term, with a straight course, is that the wind was behind them. Now, also, that it was a two-day journey on that ship, but the wind was with their sails, was in their sails. Without that, I read that would be a five-day trip. Now, three more days, no huge deal, I guess, but that one verse there shows the blessings of God. Now, remember, the Jonah's boat ride. That didn't work out so well. There was some wind, all right, but he also did what God bade him to do, and that was to preach the gospel, preach a word, a message to Nineveh. So this ship lets loose, and God's blessing them to get to Europe, out of Asia, because he forbade them to preach over there. So I don't know about those people all over this. So then they didn't hear the gospel, at least at that time. But it was meant for him to go to Philippi over in Macedonia. So that's where they're going. And remember, this whole time, Barnabas and John Mark are down preaching on the island of Cyprus. They're down there preaching. So the gospel is being spread there and all everywhere else. And now they're in Troas, and the other preachers back in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. They're all being preached. It's going on. The church is there. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's what's going on everywhere. But they're in Troas. Now, let me bring something else out before I forget it here. Troas is about 300 miles, I believe, like west-northwest of Laodicea and Colossae, down in Asia Minor. It's way about 300 miles from east and south of there. We know that Luke had been the writer of this book and of the Gospel of Luke, had been in Laodicea, Colossae. We know that. Now, also, Paul is ill at this point. And we still don't know how the Holy Ghost forbade them to preach the word in Asia. Just something or something physical, or was it his illness? But he's in Troas. If you remember, and maybe the grammar people saw this and all, but after the ninth verse, we change from they and them and so forth talking, and now we have we and us, we, and then in the 12th verse, we were in that city abiding certain days. Luke joined them there, so we've got these four and others with them, so he's there with them now in that region and on this ship. And they're really going to Philippi. But in the 11th verse, let me continue that. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from Samothracia is a little island off the coast of Macedonia. Let's leave that there. I picked up like Cyprus, island of Cyprus down there. It's smaller than that. But so they went there. And the next day, right after that, to Neapolis. That's the coastal port of Philippi. It's about 8 miles from Philippi. Really farther from Houston to Galveston. That's 50 miles. So that's a lot farther. But Philippi's port was Neapolis. And that's where they landed. They are quickly, fastly getting to Philippi. I think that vision had an effect on Paul. He's going. God's presence and his guidance in our lives should have an immediate effect upon us. There should be a change. Last Sunday, if you were here or listen, if it's on our website, my brother Mark, and some of the stuff he preached on was that turning, and when Moses turned to that burning bush, and all that, there's a turning that we must do. And so Paul, this group physically turned from going north into Bithynia to just directly west, the straight shot to Europe, to Macedonia, where this vision told, and this man's asking for help there. And so they're getting there quickly. They're not tarrying anywhere that they're stopping. And 12th verse then, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, Roman, and we, the four of them, we were in that city abiding certain days. So now they got to Philippi here. Now before I go on, I feel like I want to get one small detail. Speaking of this Troas that they just left here in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And I'm continually amazed at what details are in God's inspired word, and then I struggle with what's not in here, and yet we have exactly what we need. Now, I want to go to 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, and I want to end up around verse 13. But in the 9th verse, Paul's writing to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." He's wanting, and this is kind of parenthetical, off to the side, but Troas is involved, believe me. "Do thy diligence to come shortly to me." He wants Timothy to come to him quickly. He wants his company. He's a son in the ministry to Paul. Then it says here, and as I go through this, I caught this, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Let me finish that little portion of this part of this verse, "and is departed unto Thessalonica." So Demas, whoever, and he's not mentioned much at all, I think maybe two other places, but "Demas hath forsaken me." Remember when John Mark did that? He left. "Nope, I'm not going. I'm out. I'm going back home." And then, in fact, the 11th verse right below is where we see that everything's good with them. "But Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." It never says, and he's going to Thessalonica, never says that he left the church, the ministry, anything. And it doesn't mean, and this is where I've discussed some in recent days, different worlds. So, and I ran across this, thought, oh, this is one of them here. This is having loved this present world. Demas, I believe, felt his life threatened. And he knew what had happened to Paul, stoned to death and so forth, and all these mobs, every city they went into, the Jews were stirred up and so forth, mob and so forth. But yet when I first read it, having loved this present world, I had, oh, something from this world, this evil world, sinful world here. And those that Jesus Christ in John 17 said, "I pray not for the world." That world, but it says he having loved this present world more. So in other words, Demas was not willing to sacrifice his natural life in service to the preaching the gospel and so forth. So he forsook Paul. And I know this is just a sidebar here, but that's an interesting thought subject. You may have more enlightenment on that. It says, only Luke is here with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Timothy, bring when you come quickly to me, because I want to see you, bring Mark, John Mark, with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So they're fine together here. Demas, though, forsook him. I don't know about that. So then we 13th verse is what I wanted. Just another side note, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. He left it. Now, Elder David Montgomery has a reputation of leaving articles of clothing wherever he goes. I don't know how many clothes he left in Houston when we were down there, and he'd come singing school and so forth, and we always knew these are David's clothes and all. Well, Paul left his cloak, his coat, a raiment in Troas. And they're already in Phil. You know, they're gone from there. But when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Okay, if you forget the cloak, that's fine. But bring the books. And if you forget them or don't bring, but especially the parchments. He wanted some stuff there. I could say that this 13th verse gives me scriptural reason to drag all kinds of old papers and stuff, Sister Joyce, into my house when someone who also lives there just frowns and rolls her eyes whenever I bring other old association minutes or something in there, or cassette tapes, reel-to-reel tapes. But there we go. 2 Timothy 4 and 13. Everyone remind me of that, especially the parchments, the books, and my coat. Bring that. But again, and I am in awe that this is God's inspired word, but this is in here. It brings it down to us. The King James translation is not too hard to read or to decipher and all. We have to have God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ and God guiding us in it. But when I see things like that, it just, okay, other people go through this stuff too. Even back then, nothing new under the sun. So anyway, back to Philippi. Just a couple more verses. But I felt like we wanted to extend the song service. I just felt like we wanted to sing a few more extra songs after 11, so I don't want to be a prisoner to the clock. Let me get back over here into Acts 16. And we were in that city, Philippi, abiding certain days. So they're there. They made it there in Macedonia. 13th verse then says, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And that doesn't, I can't just write in make that a contraction and put it a little quote there, won't. It doesn't mean won't, wasn't, or anything. It's where prayer was wont habitually. Oh, it happens there all the time. There are some that now will ask, text me or Kathy, or ask in some way, are y'all having singing Wednesday night? We might come. And I'll say, yeah, we're having it. When we were meeting at Sister Jean's house third time was the charm. We met there finally as weather and sickness and all. So they checked to make sure. But we're want of meeting here Wednesday nights habitually. It's typically, okay, they're probably meeting. I'll take a chance and go on over there, and they're probably going to be there. So they went out to see, and there were not a multitude of Hebrews, Jews in Philippi. Remember, they're over in Europe now, what's now Bulgaria, if you want to look at a map, or if mine ever come through. So they're there, and so they didn't go to a synagogue. It's not there. And so they go where they thought, down by the river on the Sabbath day, out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So they spoke to the women. Now, in studying and reading and all, I mean, in just reading that simply, I can certainly speculate that there were only women there on that river shore praying, and that they spoke to. If not, then there were men there. They spoke to the women right there. And it's prayer. Remember, it's saying prayer. The women were praying. And they spoke to the women. Now, this is a good example of where I would love it. What did you say to them? I want it written here. I want this is 14th verse. I want, you know, a little footnote here. What all did they say to these women there to strengthen and solidify, to establish them there? Well, whatever it was, they did that. And they did not say. And remember, Paul had been a Pharisee. And we know what the Jews thought of the Gentiles, that they were the heathens, the uncircumcised, dogs. And then Peter went and preached in the house of one, Cornelius, and everything changed. God changed everything through them. You talk about the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And Paul, being a Pharisee of Pharisees, he looked down also, probably just about as badly, upon women there. And yet now they're speaking to the women. This is the New Testament church right here. And these ministers are speaking to them here. So in this, certainly, to me, I use the term or phrase providence of God so much, and I believe in it and all, but I've almost watered it down. In all of this, we see the direct action of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ here in this. And we do today, or else we would not hear, we wouldn't even have this place to meet, nor would we have the peace that's been given by God if it weren't for the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is as directly involved here today as he was here with the Apostle Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy, this young minister. He was blessing them because God knew where he wanted his gospel to be preached. Amen. He knew, and he was guiding them. He'd already diverted them from two different locations and directions and said, no, you go straight west and go over into Macedonia and preach the gospel. And yet, what was his name? Demas, he forsook Paul. He did not follow. They are holding to God's unchanging hand here. I don't know when the last time I sung that song, but I think it was here, so it's been the last couple of years, but that just hit me. Well, wait a minute. That's exactly what they're doing throughout this, even down to the point that they spoke to these women. And so God's guiding them, the Spirit of God, He is a driving force and very present with them at this point. And it's the same God today. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.